I wonder, my friends, in your life, have you ever faced a situation and looking at it personally, you thought there was no way through? As you looked at that situation that you were facing, it was an absolute impossible situation. It was impossible to solve. Maybe you've got a loved one. And maybe tonight they're so far away from God, and the old devil's saying to you, you know, it's absolutely impossible for that person to be saved, that loved one, that son, that daughter, that mom, that dad, that grandchild. There's no hope for them, that friend, because they're too far gone. It's absolutely impossible for them to be saved. You know what the Lord Jesus called the devil? He called him a liar. And that's what he is. He said he's a liar. The word of God asks the question, the book of Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there any situation too hard for the Lord? Whatever you're going through, my friend, whatever you're facing tonight, is there anything too hard for God to solve? Is there anything too hard for God to deal with? And the answer, you know, let me tell you, in that same chapter, that 32nd chapter of the book of Jeremiah, believe it or not, the question was answered before it was asked. Isn't that amazing? See, God knows all about our doubts and fears. And in Jeremiah chapter 32, and in the verse number 17, it says, "Ah, Lord God, there is nothing, nothing too hard for the Lord." There's not a situation too hard for God to solve, friend. There's not a problem that's too hard for God to bring you through. And there's not a soul too hard for God to save. So I say to you, mums and dads, I'm saying to you, sons and daughters, listen, don't give up. Don't give up. What did Jesus say to Jairus? He said, "Be not afraid, only believe. Only believe. All things are possible if you only believe." Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19. The Lord Jesus Christ was asked the question, "Who then can be saved? It is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. Who then can be saved?" You know what Jesus said? "With men, this is impossible." So it is. Absolutely impossible for man to be saved outside of Christ. But listen, listen to what Jesus said. "With men, this is impossible. But with God, I'll bring him into the situation. With God, all things." All things. Get that, grip your heart, friend. With God, all things. Not some. With God, all things are possible. Thank God he's the God of the impossible. There's nothing too hard for God. And then in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9 and verse 23, "If thou canst believe," here was a father, and his boy was being destroyed by the devil, and the demons were tearing him and casting him down and even tried to throw him into the fire. And the Lord Jesus was up there in the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and he came down from the mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw a gathering of people gathered round there, and they're in deep discussion, and Jesus entered in. And Jesus asked him what was wrong. And the man said, my son, the devil has cast him. There have been times he has tried to cast him into the fire. He's tried to destroy him. And I brought him to your disciples to be healed. But they couldn't heal him. Know what Jesus said? "Bring him to me. Bring him to me." You know, that father came. And Jesus says, "If you only believe." And the father said, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." For Jesus said, "If thou canst believe," Mark 9, verse 23, "all things are possible to him that believeth." God, give us faith tonight. The faith as a grain of mustard seed can remove that impossible mountain. For there's nothing too hard for God. And friend, when you come to the book of Mark's Gospel, you'll find that's so. You'll find that there's nothing too hard for God. Because in chapter 4 of Mark's Gospel, the chapter before the one we read tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, we find, it says in verse number 35 of Mark chapter 4, the same day when the even was come, Jesus saith unto his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they sent the multitude away, they took them, and he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. Here he is, my friend. And the storm's raging. And the Bible tells us that they awake him out of his sleep and say, Master, do you not care that we perish? Here we're experienced seamen. Some of them experienced fishermen, and the disciples, listen, and there they were so scared, and the Lord Jesus was lying, his head was in the pillow, the Savior was fast asleep, and they wake him up. Master, do you not care that we perish? What an awful charge to make to the Savior, friend. Do you not care? We verse in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth. He careth. He careth for you. It's interesting, you know, there's two different kinds of care in that little verse, 1 Peter 5, 7. It says, casting all your care. That's anxious care. Maybe that's what you have tonight. You're sitting in this meeting tonight, and let me tell you, nobody knows what's going on in your heart, but you have anxious care. You're carrying burdens, friend, that nobody knows about. Perhaps you've never shared them. Your care. And yet the Word of God says, child of God, casting all your care, that's the anxious care, upon him, for he careth. That's different. That's loving care. I want to tell you tonight, the Lord, who's got loving care for his people, able to take care of all your anxious care. But you've got to do something. Cast them on him. Now that means you've got to let go. How many men and women, let me tell you, and they're carrying burdens tonight, and they get down on their knees and they tell the Lord, oh God, here's my burden, here's my problem, and oh God, I'm asking you to help me through it, and oh God, solve my problem. You get up on your knees and put the burden back on your shoulder and walk with that big heavy burden for the rest of the day. That's not casting your care on him, friend. That's not casting your care. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth. He's able to look after your anxious care. Thank God he can see you through. And there they were. You know what Jesus did? Verse number 39, he arose and rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, peace be still. Wind ceased. There's a great calm. You see, my friend, here was a storm around these disciples. But he's the master of the deep. And there's not a wave too deep, friend. Thank God there's not an ocean too deep of problems and anxieties and cares. But thank God he's master. He's master of the deep. And he just steps forth. And he says to the winds, be still. The wind ceased. And the Word of God says, there's a great calm. Notice, verse 37, a great storm. But when you come to verse 39, a great calm. Child of God, can I ask you a question? Is there a great calm in your soul tonight? Some years ago, when I went to Macrofelt first, there's a family there, a dear widow woman. Her husband died. She was lived on a farm, and
She had a big family, most of them sons.
And she came, she was a godly woman. She came to the services Sunday by Sunday, brought her family with her. But then the family had grown up and some of them started to go out into the world, and one of the boys even went to prison. And Mummy's heart was breaking. One Sunday morning I was preaching on that text of scripture, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And I said, friend, let me tell you, you've got to cast. You know, if you cast a stone, you don't keep it in your hand. You've got to let go. How many times have you rehearsed your problems to God, friend, and you've never let go? You carried it with you for the rest of the day. That's not casting your care upon him. After the meeting was over, she was going out through the door. This woman stopped and she said to me, Mr. McRae, God spoke to my heart this morning. What you talked about today is what I've been doing for years, because my children are going wrong. And I've been telling the Lord about them, but I got up on my knees and I carried the burden myself again instead of casting upon the Lord. But she says, by the grace of God, I'm going to let go. I never stop praying for them, but when I do, I leave them with him. You know what God did, friend? One after the other, God brought the family in. And I say to you tonight, I don't know what you're carrying tonight. In God's name, let go. Let go. Let God! Let God take over, bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or can't see. Yes! He's the master of the deep. But then let's come quickly. Go to chapter 5. And you meet another man. The storm's not around him, friend. No, the storm's within him. There's a storm going on inside him. He's possessed of the devil. He's been driven out of his home. He's lying amongst the tombs. They even tried to put chains upon him, but my, they were no use. He tore them asunder like confetti. He tried to kill himself. And then the Lord Jesus Christ said, remember, go to the other side. And they came. Thank God he came at the right time. He came in the right place and he came for the right person. For whenever the Lord Jesus came, that man possessed of the devil came running and fell down to the feet of Jesus. He says, I worshipped him and he cried, verse 7, in a loud voice, what am I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Ah, the old demons of hell were tormenting him. And Jesus said, verse 8, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. But thank God they had to go. You know what the Bible tells us? Verse 15, and they come to Jesus. That's the people around the neighborhood to see him that was possessed with a devil and had legion. And what's he doing? He's sitting, he's clothed, and he's right mind. Who made the difference, friend? Jesus. For thank God he's not only master of the deep, he's master over the demons. And I don't care what demon of hell that grips your soul. I don't care what sin has you enslaved tonight. Praise God, he breaks the power of cancel sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. Praise God, his blood avails for me. And there he's sitting at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. A calm within a soul. Who did it? Only Jesus. And then read on down the passage of God's word and where we started tonight. There's a man, he was a ruler of the synagogue. He was Jairus by name. And Jairus had a little girl. She was 12 years of age. Verse 23, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I have no doubt that Jairus tried everyone and everything to cure his child. But they couldn't. And then he's forced to come to Jesus. It says in verse 24, and Jesus went with him. Jesus went with him. Thank God, the compassion of Christ, friend. You see, as a ruler of the synagogue, he would have no time for Jesus. His circumstances, the tragedy of his child, friend, forced him to the feet of Jesus. And yet when he came to Jesus and he said, I pray thee come, lay thy hands on her that she may be healed, that she may live. Jesus went with him. Of course, you go down to verse 42. Verse 35. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master anymore? It seemed all hope was gone, but not with Jesus. You see, Christ came into that situation, friend. And the Bible says in verse 41, and he took the damsel by the hand and he said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked. She was the age of 12 years. He's the master over death. Thank God, even the grave, he's master there. But one day he walked out of it. Yes, he died upon the cross. But praise God, in the resurrection morning, the Savior left the tomb. The tomb was empty. Master over death. But the one I want us to look at tonight is there in the middle. Verse number 25. He's master over disease. Another impossible situation, friend, that only Jesus can solve. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had was nothing better but rather grew worse when she heard of Jesus and came in the press behind him and touched his garment. I want us to look at this woman tonight. Notice, first of all, her distress. This woman was plagued with a disease. She had it for 12 years. She had an issue of blood. In other words, that was a flowing of blood. She was hemorrhaging. Internal bleeding. A very sick woman. 12 long years untold suffering. And as that blood flowed from her, she got weaker and weaker and weaker, anemic. No energy. Every day was a burden. And yet, her body wouldn't heal. But you know, her distress was this, because of her sickness. In Leviticus, in the chapter 15 and verse 19, because of her issue of blood, she was looked upon as defiled. She was looked upon as unclean. Anyone who touched her, or anything she touched, would be considered unclean. And because of her sickness, therefore she was an outcast. She was lonely. She was isolated. She was desperate. She couldn't mingle with others in public, for nobody wanted her. She couldn't go into the women's court of the temple, because they wouldn't have her. She couldn't work with others around her. Unclean. And therefore she'd be driven to the place where she would beg for scraps for food. And she could only do it from a distance because of her sickness. Friend, let me tell you this. Here was a woman that was under the sentence of death. Without healing, she's headed to the grave. And dear unsaved person, let me tell you, my friend, you too have a disease. Oh, I know whenever the doctor examines someone and they mention that word cancer, you know how we dread it. When our loved ones are diagnosed with it, or we, somehow we feel it's a sentence of death. Wasn't it amazing? Whenever God diagnoses the disease of sin, it doesn't bother. And yet, my friend, sin is a disease that will not only take you to the grave, it'll take you to hell. It'll take you to a lost and Christless eternity forever. Here was a woman of herself, she couldn't get better. Friend, of yourself, neither can you. That disease that grips your soul, that disease of sin that stains your soul and life, of yourself, you can't let go. You're in the grip. You're a slave to it. You're under its dominion, under its power, in its grip. You can't of yourself set you free. Her distress, but notice her desire. Go verse 26. And she suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. What does that mean, friend? She longed to be healed. Ah, this woman, she longed, oh, that she would have a touch of healing upon her body. She didn't want to stay in her sickness, no. She longed to experience healing. And she tried everything. Notice, she said, she suffered many things of many physicians, because in actual fact, some of the medical practices of that day didn't heal her. It added to her suffering, made her problem worse. And notice she didn't try one physician. She tried many. Why? Because she wanted to be healed. Or they took her money, because notice what it says here. She spent all that she had. And not only is she dying of her disease, and not only is she an outcast, not only is she isolated, not only is she lonely, she's penniless. All in the name of healing. She tried many physicians. Maybe there's someone here tonight. You've been troubled about your soul, and you've been troubled about eternity, and you know that one day you have to meet God, and you're trying. You're trying your way of healing. You're going to man's physician. You're trying the church. You're trying religion. You're trying rituals. You're trying to pay. You're trying self-righteousness and self-efforts. But after all the trying, friend, not one of them can change your soul. Not one of them makes you better after all your efforts. You're nearer hell than ever you've been before, and your soul is darker and more stained by sin than it has ever been. After all your efforts. Yes, she had a desire for healing. Can I ask you a question tonight? Do you desire to be clean from sin? Do you really desire to be saved? Do you really desire that that sin's chain will be broken? That you'll be no longer bound and fettered by it? Here's a wee woman wanted healing. I wonder, to you, are you just content in your sin? Notice she was bleeding, she was broken, and she was bankrupt after all her trials. But thank God that's not the end of the story. Notice her deeds. In the midst of her despair, look at verse 27. And when she had heard of Jesus, somebody told her of Jesus. What did she hear? Perhaps she heard about the leper that was healed, that fell at the feet of Christ and cried, Lord, have mercy on me. And Jesus delivered him of his leprosy. Did you hear about the demon at Gadara? Over there, energized and enslaved by the power of the demons of hell. I don't know how she heard, but it says, when she had heard of Jesus. Word of God says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why it's important. If you have a concern for your loved one, friend, get them into the meeting. They need to hear. They need to hear the news of the gospel. They need to hear about Jesus. They need to hear about salvation. They need to hear about God's forgiveness. They need to hear about God's love. They need to hear about God's mercy. That poor lost and guilty soul, they need to hear. They need you to tell them. And she heard of Jesus. The word of God doesn't tell me who told her. But thank God when she heard, something happened in her heart, friend. She came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch but his clothes, I shall be healed. You know, she believed what she heard. She believed what she heard about this miracle working Jesus. She believed. She believed that Jesus Christ was the answer to her need, that he could meet her need. And in her heart she knew, I've got to get to Jesus. And I tell you tonight, if you want to get to heaven, you've got to get to Jesus. If you want to be saved, you've got to get to Jesus. If you want to escape hell, you've got to get to Jesus. For Jesus was her only hope. You know, the Lord Jesus didn't say, I am a way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the way. He's the only way. He says he's the truth, he's the life. And then he said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Ah, she wanted to get to Jesus. But she had a problem. There were obstacles in her way. What was the obstacle, friend? Well, the Bible tells us there was a crowd that thronged Jesus. There's a multitude, verse number 31. Thou seest the multitude thronging thee. There was a crowd around the Lord Jesus Christ. And for her to get to Jesus, she had to get past the crowd. You see, let me tell you, if any person had recognized that woman in that crowd, that woman would have been shamed. They would have called her out. You're unclean! What are you doing here? Tell you something else. She could have been stoned. She could have been stoned. Even to death. Because anyone who touched that woman in that crowd ceremonially was unclean. They would have been looked upon as being defiled. That's why she was isolated. That's why she was an outcast. That's why nobody wanted to know her. She was unclean. So what would you do, friend? She had to get past the crowd and say, I must get to Jesus. I don't care what the crowd says. I don't care what the enemy says. I don't care how they humiliate me. I don't care whether you ridicule me. I don't care whether you beat me. I need to get to Jesus, and that's all I want. And she pressed through the crowd. Remember, she was hardly fit to move because 12 long years. And she was so weak. And there were so many crowding around the Lord Jesus. And she had to push her way through the crowd. Tell me, what's stopping you from being saved? Maybe it's the crowd. Are you afraid of what people will say to you if you could say it? Are you afraid what your family will say if you went home tonight and say, I give my heart to Jesus? Are you afraid what some of your friends at work tomorrow would say if you say, I got saved in the mission up there in the Free Church in Coleraine, and I got gloriously saved and my sins are forgiven? Maybe they'll humiliate me. Maybe they'll ridicule me. Maybe they'll laugh at me. Maybe they'll scoff at me. Well, they scorn at me. Let me tell you, my friend, you've got to get past the crowd and get to Jesus. My old companions, fare you well. I will not go with you to hell. I mean with Jesus Christ to dwell. She was determined to get to Jesus. Come with me. I've got to get to Jesus. She had to get past the crowd. She was weak. But she was desperate. So desperate, she risked everything to get to Jesus. And she came and she touched Jesus, the hand of faith. Notice something else, friend. She came as she was. Defiled. Unclean. An outcast, lonely, penniless, desperate. She came as she was. And friend, that's the only way you'll be saved. You've got to come as you are. Some people say, you know, well, I'd need to clean up my life. My friend, let me tell you, the reason why you're coming to Jesus is because you can't clean up your life. You can't change your life. You can't save your soul. That's why you've got to get to Jesus. You've got to come as you are. That's why Charlotte Elliott wrote the words of that wee hymn, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Charlotte Elliott was at the age of 32. She suffered a serious illness. And she was left a semi-invalid for the rest of her life. Within a year of taking that illness, she went through a spiritual crisis and she confessed to an evangelist Henry Mallon that she didn't know how to come to Christ. And he said, Charlotte, you come to him just as you are, a sinner. And she wrote the words of that hymn, just as I am without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come. Then you come as a sinner. She came as she was, but she came in faith. Because look at verse 28. If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Not a doubt about it. Not a might be whole. Not maybe I'll be whole. She says, I might but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. She believed. She reached out the hand of faith. Time's away. Notice her deliverance. Verse 29. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. Verse number 34. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Thank God, her healing was powerful. She's whole. Her healing was personal. She was whole. Her healing was permanent. Hallelujah. She went away whole of the plague. Jesus doesn't do a half job. Thank God he saves from the guttermost to the uttermost, all that come unto God by him. And if you come, thank God he'll save you, friend. You'd not do the work. He does the work. He'll save your soul. And notice her declaration. Jesus says, verse number 3, who touched me? Who touched me? And the disciples said, but Master, sure, there's a whole crowd around you. What do you mean? That throng, they're all touching. No, he said, listen, who touched me? There's only one in that crowd touched him with faith. A hand of faith. And you know, when the wee woman realized it, it says in verse number 32, and he looked round about to see her. He knew exactly who it was. He knew exactly. So what was Jesus doing, friend? Verse 33. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Just before we go, turn to the book of Luke's Gospel, that story, the record there in Luke's Gospel. And when you go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, and you'll find in verse 47, it says this, and when the woman saw that she was not hid. No, you can't hide from God, friend. There's not one of you sitting in this meeting tonight, but God sees every last one of us. There's not one of you hiding. And when she saw she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. Listen to this. She declared unto Jesus before all the people for what cause she had touched him. And how she was healed immediately. There in front of that crowd, she testified. She wasn't ashamed. Ah, yes, she came trembling. She fell down before him, but she told him, Jesus, I came to you because for 12 long years I have been dying. I was unclean. I was an outcast. I was helpless. I tried every physician. I tried everything. I paid everyone. But no one could heal me. And then I heard of you, Lord. And I said, if I but could touch your clothes, I'll be healed. And Lord Jesus, I came broken and bleeding and bankrupt. But I came to you, Lord. Listen. And you healed me. Immediately. I'm healed. What a testimony of the amazing grace of God. Let me tell you, if you come to Jesus tonight, I guarantee you in the name of the Lord Jesus, thank God he'll save you. You bring your sin to the blood. Thank God the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse you from every sin. And you go home clean. Redeemed. But there's one last thought. Just go back to that passage again in Mark chapter 5. Don't miss the last. Her delight. Verse 34. And he said unto her, Daughter. Daughter. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Do you know, that's the only time that Jesus called a woman in scriptures daughter. And in the original, that word can mean beloved. See, when you're a daughter, friend, you're in the family. And that's what happens. As many as receive him, to them give he power to become the sons, the daughters of God, even to them that believe on his name. And praise God, you become a child of God. A child of the King. And a joint heir with Jesus Christ. How tender the Savior was. He says, daughter, rejoice. Be of good comfort. Yes. Thank God thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. You can go home tonight with God's peace in your heart. Knowing that if God were to call you tonight, all's well. Not a fear. Not a fear. He says, go in peace. Your sins are blotted out. You're whole. Saved. But here's the question. Will you do as this woman did? Will you come to Jesus? Come by faith. Taking hold of his promises. Believing what he says. Believing what he did for you at the cross. In the shedding of his precious blood. And finishing the work for your redemption. And cry out tonight, O Lamb of God, I come. Oh, may the Spirit of God draw you tonight. Draw you to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless your word to our hearts. Thou knowest those that are in this gathering tonight. Thou knowest those that are struggling. Thou knowest those, our God, that are battling. The old devils tried to keep them away. But, oh God, give them grace. Give them grace to come. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend, let's sing a little verse of a hymn. Just as I am, without one plea, heads bowed and eyes closed. But that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Will you come to him tonight? Will you say, Lord, save me. I perish. If there's one in this meeting, father, mother, son or daughter, young person or older person, that's the desire of your heart. You want the Lord to save you, or backslider, you want to come back. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend, and we sing this little verse of invitation, would you slip that hand above your head to indicate your desire? Preacher, I want to be saved. Lead me to Jesus when others have gone away. Now, don't want to embarrass you, friend, but I do want to see you saved. I want to see you saved. I want you to be rescued from sin's grip, Satan's power. I want the blood to be applied to your soul. O Lamb of God.